You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Anyway, play some theme music.
Can do. Today, we're going to be talking about the first serial of the 17th season of Doctor Who, Destiny of the Daleks, which consists of four episodes that aired from September 1st, 1979 to September 22nd, 1979.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for getting us these episodes.
Hey, thanks, Matt!
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. Or he's also on some other thing that he told me to promote, but I don't remember what it is.
But you weren't listening?
It's like medium.com/@emgolden or something like that.
Ooh, if you go to his Medium, you can read about the time that we went to the Minister's Treehouse.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Basically the origins of the Unseen World, so.
And joining us today, we have special returning Dalek expert.
Ooh.
Yeah. Lainey Henderson. Lainey Lex Terminate Henderson.
Yes, hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Are you the Dalek expert or the Davros expert?
Dalek expert.
Dalek, okay.
Yeah.
But, like, so far, you've been on every episode with Davros.
Yes.
So, that's pretty special.
Yeah, so maybe I should try to be the Davros expert also.
They kind of go hand in hand a little bit.
They
little bit.
Should.
Hand in weird sucker.
Always.
Bullet plunger thing.
Go together. Aww. If they're going to have the Daleks do a lot of talking. I feel like that's something that, like, the show has just figured out.
Yeah, don't have Daleks talking to Daleks. Have Davros be the voice, because he's less hard to listen to.
No, I love listening to the screaming.
You love the screaming?
Yes, I love the screaming, so sorry.
Even in scenes, even in scenes when they're just like talking about, like, they're just in the control room talking about their plans and stuff,
talking to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. I love the screaming.
That's why you're on this episode.
That's why you're the Dalek expert.
So, how have you been, Lainey?
I'm pretty good, actually. Yeah.
Are we ready to dive in to the destiny of the Daleks?
I mean, did you want to dick around for a little bit more, or
I maybe wanted to drink a little bit more? That's a lot of D words we just said. This is a very alliterative episode. Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about Destiny of the Daleks. Episode 1, which I have two titles for. The Regenerations of Romana and The Underworld Dentist.
The Underworld Dentist.
There's a line of dialogue in this episode.
Oh, yeah. It is, isn't it?
Yeah. So the first thing we see is the doctor being a doctor to a robot.
He's got all of K-9's guts out.
His brains.
K-9 is coughing?
Yeah, because he's got laryngitis.
He's got laryngitis, yeah.
That's my...
I don't understand that.
I don't know, but I love the line the doctor has about it, because he's like, what?
Why would you have that? What is the purpose of that?
What are you going to do with it? What does anyone do with it? It's not...
Though that is not John Leeson. Like, he only has one line of dialogue, which is just, he, like, makes a, like, noise.
Oh, K-9.
And it's voiced by Roy Skelton, who I believe does the Daleks.
How come?
Because he only had one line. Why is he not in the serial?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to remember what I read on Wikipedia. Terry Nation didn't want to ride him. Maybe there was a lot of location shooting, so it would have been hard to, like, lug him around.
Oh, I gotcha.
Because there's a lot of, like, deserts and stuff, and it's hard to deal with a robot dog. I think we're actually going to get a different voice of K-9 soon. I think they recast him.
Speaking of different people for the same thing.
Whatever could you be segueing into?
We have a new Romana.
Very randomly.
She's just there. All of a sudden.
She's not that new, though.
She seems familiar.
She was in the last serial, just as a different character. He calls her Princess Astra at the beginning.
I know she was regenerating quite a few times there at the beginning.
Right? Like, so many times?
times?
Joe and I were having a discussion about that, and we were saying, did she regenerate a whole bunch of times? Or was that, like, the same regeneration where she was just trying on, like, different faces? Does that count?
Can you do that?
A lot of people who aren't the doctor seem to have an easier time, like... I mean, like, River being like,
true.
I'm focusing on a dress size. A lot of people who aren't the doctor seem to have more control over it.
Yeah.
But I don't, I mean, like, I don't know how much the mechanics have ever actually been established.
The 10th doctor regrew a hand.
No.
So she could just be, like, still actually, in that early stages so she can change whatever she wants.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Aww. That makes me sad. The hand comes up a lot, actually.
Yeah, I don't...
Does it?
Yeah.
Are we sure?
She doesn't like that plot line.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of it either. Tintu is what he's technically called, I guess.
You know, it's hard to dislike anybody who's that much Donna Noble. Right. I'll say that.
It just feels weird that, like, this half Donna Noble, half 10th Doctor... character. It was basically just Rose gets to have a boyfriend.
Yeah. I think the thing that bothers me about it is that it does kind of ignore the, like, Donna Nobleness that he does have, because it's the only Donna Nobleness that's left.
Aww.
I've got a lot of feelings about that anyway. Let's talk about this serial before I get mad and also sad.
But Donna's my favorite.
She's
too. One of the best companions.
Just sucks that, you know, she doesn't remember any of it.
Not fair.
I have my own headcanon. When Clara takes off in her diner, they land on Earth. Donna's on her way to, like, a job interview and stops to get some food and then winds up being their companion, like Clara and me. So,
aww.
I like that.
You're talking about, like, there's a lot of debate about the regenerations, by the way, like what you were saying. There's also a story, I don't remember if it's a book or a Big Finish audio, where it basically says that this isn't even Romana, it's the TARDIS, who has locked Romana away out of jealousy or something.
What?
Yeah.
This is a novel?
I think so.
Novelization, or is it...
No, it's just a novel. It's not a novelization.
It's just like a one-off thing. Okay.
Romana in the serial the whole time is actually the TARDIS, and then at the end she feels bad and, like, lets Romana free, but changes her into that look. I don't know why you would do that. That seems weird.
Yeah. That was a weird choice. I do like that the doctor kind of is like, hey, you can't just go and take that face.
That's somebody else's face.
And she's like, what? Are we going back there? Well, no. I thought it looked good on her. Romana's just like, I'll have that look.
And the doctor is like, you can't do that. But then later does it at least twice with, was it six?
Six.
And 12. Like, very explicitly, he takes... Peter Capaldi's face from...
Yeah, I don't think...
Fires in Pompeii?
I don't think... Right. It's Maxwell is the person who the Sixth Doctor played, maybe?
Does that...
I don't know.
Do they say that, though? Or is it just like...
I mean, I haven't seen any of that era. I have no idea.
So, aww, like, you haven't
sad.
Seen...
Sad.
Every mixed things about Six.
Everything I know about that... I mean, I saw his regeneration. Everything else I know from that era, I know from the 10 Doctors.
You met the Sixth Doctor once.
Yes, he spoke words at me, and and it was frightening.
He is a very large, imposing man.
I feel like we talk about it on the podcast a lot, but yeah.
It leaves an impression.
Yeah.
On that note, I met the voice of the Daleks.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nicholas Briggs?
Yes, and I have his autograph.
Nice.
He was at the... first Tulanta we ever went to, right?
That's exactly where I met him, yeah.
Okay, cool, yeah.
Let's run through the regenerations real quick. So we've got, first off, she looks like Princess Astra from the last serial.
Yes.
How would you rate that on a scale of 1 to 10?
What am I rating?
Like, is it a, like, the style and everything, is it a good regeneration? Like, is it a good look? This is like a fashion show, and you're the judges. I'm going to give it an 8.
Like this?
I don't like this either.
I want to see how you rank all of the different looks.
20.
20? Oh, that's a good one. That means you really liked it. It's all a 20.
They're all going to be 20, honestly.
Yeah. Like, ranking a bunch of women on their looks feels bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, it's like style. Like, is it a good style?
Just go through and list the regenerations.
Fine. Okay, so there was Princess Astra. The next one was the really short one.
Right. Oh, she was like,
blue.
Yeah. I think like the first time you ever see somebody were like, well, that's not human.
I was hoping she would keep that one. Yeah. I liked it.
I like how you don't know how short she is at first because of the camera angle. Mm-hmm. And then the doctor stands up and he's like way taller. Thinner. I'm assuming that was probably a kid or something, right?
Or just a really short person.
We never actually get to see her face very well because she's facing away from the camera and then she turns around and runs off. Then we have a woman in like...
The belly dancer?
Yeah, the belly dancer look. Yeah.
You know actually what her look is
on
like?
On Wikipedia, it's described as a drag queen look. I was like, what? That's not right at all. It's clearly like a belly dancer or something. It's not a drag queen.
It reminded me of the race in Zelda. What are they called?
Zeldians.
No, the one that are all women.
Hyruleans.
No!
I don't play those games. That's your fandom.
It's going to drive me crazy.
Are you talking about the like very like borderline sexual assaulty giant fairy ladies?
No, but the great fairies... They're definitely messed up. Especially in Breath of the Wild. They make me uncomfortable. No, I'm talking about like the big buff desert ladies. You probably haven't seen me play that level. It's fine. Somebody will remember it and somebody will tweet me. For the love of God, please.
Matt Golden is listening. I know he's played Breath of the Wild.
But that's what the look reminds me of.
All right. And then after her, we have the very, very tall lady.
Like a big, I think she's got like a sort of like a Greek.
Like toga.
Yeah. Which I was like, yeah, let her be the companion, please. Because the doctor's like, no, it's too tall. I don't like it. And I was like, you know what? Screw you. Let her be tall.
Then there is Astra again, but she's wearing the doctor's outfit.
Which is adorable. She's got the hat pulled over her face. And she's got like the scarf completely looped around so that you can't see it. So like she comes out and the doctor's like, yeah, I like this one.
Perfect. You have a lot of style. But then he finds out that she looks like Astra again. He's like, what? Can't do that.
And then tells her to change her ridiculous outfit.
What's she can keep great? The face. She's got to just drop the outfit.
Though, the outfit she comes out in is basically the doctor's outfit. It's just pink. She's got this...
Yeah, with the scarf and everything.
Yeah, this big, long, white scarf. She's got boots the same as his. She's got, like, the coat. It's just all pink.
Gender marketing.
Yeah, but it's a cool echoing, I think. Yeah, that you... I mean, because to me, it's being like... It's Romana. Romana's a Time Lord. Like, she's not just, like, somebody who follows the doctor around. She's just as capable and like, just as much a main character. As the doctor. Or maybe I'm reading too much into it. It's a nice jacket.
I can't believe we talked about 20 minutes about the first 2 minutes of this serial.
There's a lot to talk about.
This serial is the last serial written by Terry Nation.
Whew. We did it, kids.
Yeah, I have problems with Terry Nation. His last one was good. Genesis of the Daleks was good.
This one was good.
Yeah, and I found out why. This serial is the reason Terry Nation never wrote for the show again, is because he's like, I didn't care for how much of it was rewritten by the script editor.
Douglas Adams?
Douglas Adams. Douglas Adams rewrote, like, 98% of this serial. I think he basically took the outline. And like, on the commentary, the director is like, yeah, this is 98% Douglas Adams. So, and you can kind of tell, like, the humor is up a bit, especially right here at the beginning. Because I wrote this in my notes. The doctor is like looking at the readout of the planet. And he's like, there's a lot of seismic activity. And then she's like, what? And he goes, there's like earthquakes. And she said, oh, seismic activity. I thought you said psychic activity. And he says, psychic? And then she goes, like it? I haven't even seen it. Which
always great. Always fun.
That seems very Douglas Adams-y to me.
There's a scene right after this where he pulls open the scanner to see what's outside and he just goes,
oh look, rocks.
Which is a clip, like out of context, that has been on the servers at work for like the longest. I've like that thing played and I was like, I've seen this before. I think I like me or somebody else pulled it for like a promo. Mm-hmm. And it was like weird seeing that like weird clip that I've seen only ever out of context and be like, no, it pretty much has the exact same feeling here.
I do think it's funny that it's like immediately after she's like, what do you think of my outfit? And he's not even looking. He's like, yeah, it's great. Whatever. And then she's like, oh, let's see where we are. And he's like, ooh, rocks. Like that's the thing that excites him. But he also says that there's a lot of radiation here. And we get our first clue of where we're at when he's like, well, we'll need to take some anti-radiation drugs.
Oh!
Which obviously made me think of William Hartnell saying anti-radiation gloves.
It's a reference. Yeah. I should have realized that. I did not.
And also the doctor says he has a feeling that he's been there before, which is clue number two. Actually, it's technically clue number three, because the first clue was the fact that this serial is called Destiny of the Daleks.
Joseph, we know... That's just how Dalek episodes work. We're not going to see the Dalek until the very end of this episode, and we're going to be like, oh shit, there are Daleks in this.
I've actually done one serial where Daleks wasn't in the title, and then it was like, oh shit, there's Daleks in this. And that was that third Doctor serial, The Frontier in Space.
Oh yeah. And that did legitimately shock me for exactly that reason.
And then they find some concrete, and there's a whole adorable scene about that. He finds this rock and he's like, this is more valuable than diamonds. And he's testing Romana to see if she knows what it is, which she licks it and then describes it, and it's concrete. And he's like, it's man-made. That means there's got to be people around here. And then they walk to this like ruined place and like the ground starts trembling. And I thought it was stock footage at first until I saw their feet actually standing in it. And then he's like, she's like, What are these tremors about? What could it be? And he's like, I don't know, an underworld dentist. There's the title.
There you go.
And then they see some rough looking people carrying a dead body that they proceed to bury under rocks because it would be hard to dig.
And the doctor's like, I want to go see that body.
Yeah.
And Romana's just, like, yeah, okay.
And he just starts moving the rocks just to look at the body. It's just okay.
Just starts digging up a corpse. For curiosity's sake?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that illegal to sort of disrupt a grave?
Grave robbing?
I mean, illegal, sure, whatever.
Morally repugnant as well?
That's like, the one.
Like, that seems disrespectful of the dead. He says that the guy died of exhaustion, and also he's from a pleasure planet beach place. Because he's got, like, a little... name tag thing
yeah,
on.
A little
and he's like, what is he doing out here in this terrible desert place? They're workers. They're slave workers, basically, for the Daleks, because that's what the Daleks do. And then we see a spaceship land, and I really like the design of this spaceship.
Oh, man! I love the design of the spaceship, but also, like, not just the design, but, like, the effect of it. The thing that the spaceship does is kind of drill into the ground. There's, like, a bottom bit that's the drill, and there's, like, the top bit that is, like, a base, I guess? Yeah. So, I mean, like, there's this little model, and it sort of drills into the ground, and then it cuts, and the top of the model is now a set. But, like, the idea of that is really cool to me.
But it hides the fact that it's a ship, and now it just looks like a building. We will find out who lives there. No, we find out in this episode, I think. But it's way later. But I'm going to go ahead and say what they are. Their names are the Movellans. Let's describe what they look like a bit. Very 70s.
They're like Afro-futurism type dudes.
And ladies.
Yeah, they're actually...
But they look gender neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, somebody specifically went out of their way to make them all look very gender neutral. But they have dreads and silver suits.
Oh, they're white.
They're white?
Mm-hmm.
I just
dreads. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the tips of their dreads...
They got beads.
Yeah. All of them are silver, except for the main guy, his are black. I don't know if anyone else noticed.
I noticed that they were different colors, yeah.
Yeah. And they also have, on the side of their arms, are these big green... They look like levels that we put on stuff to make sure that... Their balance, their level, or whatever. It looks like those on the side of their arms. And they have big battery packs on the front of their belt.
I feel like this is one of the first times we've had, like, an alien race or people from the future who are specifically, like, not based on Western fashion and stuff, which is pretty cool. Like, I mean, it's pretty apparent that they went out of their way to be like, hey, this isn't just more English people. Like,
though they are all are English. Yeah. That's where they filmed. They actually show back up in New Who, and they look exactly the same in a very brief scene in the pilot, the first episode of the last season of Peter Capaldi, when he takes Bill through the ship and there's like the Daleks fighting this race.
Huh.
It's the Movellans. It's a Movellan Dalek war happening. Huh. So I remember that scene vaguely, but I remember the Daleks being in it. I didn't remember the race they were fighting. But I went and watched it and I was like, yeah, they look exactly the same. They got the dreadlocks, they're wearing the white outfits and everything. But it's like, you know, there's explosions going on everywhere, so it's kind of hard to notice.
We said dreadlocks, but I feel like they're more braids. Yeah.
I think they're braids.
But yeah, I really like their design, and we learn more about them, and I think they're an interesting concept when we find out what they are, exactly. The Doctor and Romana make their way to the spaceship, and there's a nice shot of the Doctor running down a desert dune. He's like, whee! Mm-hmm. And then when he gets to the bottom, Romana just like walks up next to him like she went around it. But the Doctor's got to be extra. But they're about to get to the ship when just explosions start going off. And that legitimately shocked me. I was like, oh no.
Because it seems like that was them running from real explosions. Like,
I mean, yeah.
It wasn't like, sometimes when there are explosions, it's like, oh, I can't see anybody's faces anymore. This is like them legit running past pyrotechnics. And I was like, oh God.
Tom Baker's been doing that a lot lately, I feel like. I think he's just like, yeah, why not? I'll do it.
Do you think at a certain point he was just like, it's fine, I'm the Doctor. I'll be fine because I'm the Doctor.
That sounds like Tom Baker. They run into one of the ruins, this underground building, where the Doctor gets that, like, stuff starts crashing because of the explosions, and a beam falls on the Doctor, and he gets stuck underneath it, and Roman is going to go get K-9 to help him out from underneath the beam, and then she's like, don't go anywhere! He's like, I was really hoping you wouldn't say that.
He deserves it.
And then he pulls out a book to read, which is called Origins of the Universe by Ulan Khalufid. Which is a reference.
I know that name.
Yeah, it's a reference to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Because in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Ulan Khalufid wrote the trilogy of philosophical blockbusters, Where God Went Wrong, Some More of God's Greatest Mistakes, and Who Is This God Person Anyway?
Did you look that up or did you have that ready to go?
That's in my brain.
All right, nice.
I've read that book so many times and listened to the radio series so many times.
Between the two of us, we have so many different copies of that, like, that one series. It's probably unnecessary, but it's not, though. The Doctor's reading this book and just scoffing at all of it and talking about what is wrong in it.
Well, he's literally
he says,
like,
the first line isn't even right.
Yeah. Why didn't they ask anyone who was there, he says. And then, he's just, like, constantly critiquing it. He's giving his Goodreads review.
But Romana goes back to the TARDIS, and by the time she gets there,
it's buried under styrofoam rocks.
They're just too heavy to be moved.
But she is being followed by a creepy-looking dude who turns out to be a good guy. But, okay, I have mixed feelings about this guy. And then I had even more mixed feelings when I learned more about him.
About your mixed feelings?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about my mixed feelings.
Explain.
Okay, so this character's name is Tyson. He's one of the workers who escaped.
He's got, by the way, like a great, like, dusty, beat-up, leather jacket, like...
He looks like Christopher Lloyd in Back to the Future, almost, to me.
I was gonna say, Firefly.
Like a brown coat?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but just, like... Firefly is like a very sort of, it's like the future, but everything's very grimy and
dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like this guy. I was like, he's pretty good when he's like, sometimes. And he's like good when he's like going around, creeping around.
He spends his first, a good chunk of time without any speaking roles or without any lines or anything.
And then I was like, when he started speaking, I was like, man, his acting is not always the best. And then I found out the actor is partially deaf. And it was, like, reading people's lips and stuff. And he actually has started an acting school for the deaf. And I'm like, part of that may just be that he's deaf. And now I feel bad judging his acting. Because he did well enough. But I was like, sometimes his delivery is very flat. But that could just be a like a tone deaf sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I had mixed feelings about his acting, then mixed feelings about my.
And then you were like, "Oh no! It turns out I'm a dick."
Yeah. Oh no! I am problematic. My problematic fave is me.
You're your own fave?
Oh yeah, definitely. I love me.
That's pretty healthy. I'm very envious.
This is a plot point that only kind of happens for a little bit. The doctor and has a little, because they have to take these pills, these anti-radiation pills.
And I guess they only last for so long because like a timer goes off and the doctor's like, guess I need to take another dose. And Romana's like, oh.
Well, Romana's not there to take one.
So she like gets the alarm and is like, I guess I gotta go back and get some
pills. This becomes important in the next episode, but then after that,
we forget about it.
They don't take pills at any point after it stops being a problem.
I mean, I guess they probably do just off camera, like the same way people go to the bathroom and stuff. I assume at some point the doctor's gone.
They're like, oh no, we're running away from the Daleks. Oh wait, took my pill. Okay, gotta keep running away from the Daleks.
Yeah, it happened. You don't have to see it to know that it happened.
All right. As they're running, there's a bathroom. Hold on just a minute. I have to stop here.
I never watched much of the show, but 24? Did they?
No, they never went to the bathroom. I watched all of it.
I imagine they had to go like during the commercial breaks, right? Because that time's unaccounted for.
They cut back and forth to different storylines, so I just figured that's when they went.
What about like laundry, though? Like,
it's one day.
Like, chores.
It's one day, though. Like, gotcha. This day, it's not their laundry day, I assume. No one wants to watch 24 and like 4 hours of it is like doing the laundry.
I actually would like to just watch a live stream of just a person's life, and I would be like, man, this is good TV.
Could you
imagine? This is all the stuff they normally don't give you.
Could you imagine that, like, in the...
Well, now you're talking about the Jim Carrey movie.
Could you imagine, like, if that was a background joke in 24, where you just see, like, a character doing laundry for, like, 5-6 episodes? Like, you see them, like, put it in, and then they're folding it, and it's all the same clothes. You have to keep continuity on that.
Yeah, and since each episode is 1 hour,
that's, then... like, one dry cycle, yeah. Right?
Because you say they cut back and forth, so it's not even the background. It's just like occasionally they'll cut to that guy's story. And he's made it from the whites to the towels. Or...
See, if I was a TV show writer, that's the kind of...
Aren't you?
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff I would write, and then people would be mad at me. Or they'd love me. They'd probably love me.
Live it at you every day. You send me scripts and it infuriates me.
That's true. I wrote something the other day.
Don't spoil.
I wrote a romantic scene between a monkey and Dracula. So.
Then that's not even the part that makes me angry.
It's the fact that it's set in a bar?
It's the joke? Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, don't write locations, man. Because you're going to be annoyed when we have to film it later. Anyway, Doctor Who.
The joke that made you angry was.
Nope. When.
Okay.
They'll have to wait for the show to come out.
When I look in your eyes, I see no evil. That's what the monkey says.
All over again. Listen.
I see no evil.
Listen.
Do you get it? Because monkeys.
We don't have time to talk about your Dracula show. What happens next in this episode of Doctor Who?
I think that hit Lainey late.
God damn it.
I'm sorry.
So the doctor is reading his book, and he is interrupted by the Movellans, who we see for the first time. I've pulled a gun on him, and he's like, pardon me for not getting up. I'm under a thing, a beam. He gets taken by them. So the Romana returns to try to find the doctor, and I guess her pills. Can't find the doctor.
Which she did tell him, don't move.
Yeah,
she did, and he didn't listen.
Yeah.
He's like going against his own advice that he's given to multiple companions.
Yep.
Well, to be fair, did he go willingly or was he taken by the Movellans? We don't actually see, so I don't know.
I think maybe out of curiosity he went.
Yeah, that sounds like him.
Yeah.
But she can't find the doctor because he's gone. But Tyson shows up and she like freaks out and falls down a chute. He doesn't say anything. He could have been like, oh, hey, I'm cool. But he just, like, stares at her like a big creeper. He's like, oh, she fell down the chute. So he starts tying her rope so he can crawl down there.
And this is how I know
that at least part of this was written by Terry Nation.
Yeah, because we see him, like, tying off the rope. And then we see him, I mean, like, it cuts away and other things happening. Then when it cuts back to him, he's still fiddling with the rope. He hasn't just, like, where it's like, no, we got to see every step of this process.
That rope is important. It becomes very important.
I mean, that's true. So we got to establish the heck out of this thing.
Well, see, it's real time, like 24.
You know what? You're absolutely right. This is absolute hypocrisy on my part. And I'm going to have to apologize.
We see him wash the rope. He dries the rope.
Wraps it around his arm.
I was getting exactly what I was asking for, and I was not appreciating it. And that's on me.
So the doctor has been taken to the Movellan ship, which this could have been a lot quicker if they didn't shoot at him first. He was headed there already. They just delayed this by shooting at him. He talks to the leader, whose name is Cheryl, and finds out that the planet is Skaro. And he's like, oh, okay, that's why the place looks familiar. Been here before. Meanwhile, Romana is down in this, like, area where she fell down the chute, and she's, like, listening to this, like, I don't know, machine or a wall or something.
The wall is, like, mirrored, and it's vibrating, and the look of that is very, it's, like, almost kind of surreal, and I liked it.
And she's like, what's this tremor? What's this thing that's coming?
And then a Dalek fucking smashes through it, which is a really cool cliffhanger, but also, like, where she is part of, like, where the Daleks are. So, like, that's their stuff.
They're just tearing up their own walls.
He just smashed through that. Like, there's probably a door somewhere nearby, and that Dalek was like, hang on, this is gonna be real
cool. They probably just, they built it up, like, shortly beforehand because they knew they were going to make an entrance. They keep going back and forth through it, too. And it's like, yeah, they keep, like, bumping into, like, the little bit that's dangling.
Nobody at any point goes and cleans it up. It just stays broken.
Well, to be fair, it is ruins. But that is the end of episode one. And we are now into episode two, which my title is boring. It's just called The Fourth Level.
Yeah, that's pretty boring.
Yeah, I apologize. I can't always be a great writer. I gotta leave some talent for other people. Can't hoard it all to myself.
You know that's not how, like,
yeah, it is.
We're, okay.
Romana is taken prisoner by the Daleks. Tyson sees all of this from, he doesn't even fully climb down the chute. He's just sort of at the top, listening in. We find out that the Movellans are here to fight the Daleks. That's their purpose, their goal. The doctor's like, yeah, I know who the Daleks are. And they're like, oh, you've heard of the Daleks? He's like, I know more about the Daleks than anybody, except for Lainey, like, Terminator Henderson, the Dalek expert.
That's right.
Then comes a scene that I don't really care for. This is our first episode, or first serial with Romana 2, as she is most commonly known. And this is, like, one of the first big scenes with her, and I don't like her acting in it at all.
Really?
Yeah. Where she's being interrogated by the Daleks. They got, like, got her in a machine.
Right.
And she's just,
she, like, was really, really, like, I don't know, awkward.
Weepy and she was, crying.
Yeah. It just made me feel weird.
Like, especially because, like, I don't think she knows anything about the Daleks.
She was like, I don't know.
She was like, I think she was being, yeah, very dramatic considering, like, I mean, they're just asking her questions.
I think here's the
thing. They've, like, not done anything too scary except knock down their own wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are two things that, like, would have made this scene make total and complete sense. And that's one, if you're like, ah, well, she's Time Lady, she's heard of the Daleks before, she knows how big and evil,
yeah,
and scary
I
they
wondered,
are.
I wondered, does she know who they are?
But they, she says, I don't know anything about the Daleks, and she's on that lie detector machine.
Right.
So,
or if, like, they had been a lot scarier. Because, like, she is on the lie detector machine, and she pulls her hands off, and they're like, you'll put them back. And she's like, okay. And I was like, if she was like,
they are scary.
But I mean,
Daleks are scary.
They're definitely scary, but they don't, in that scene, I don't feel like they are as menacing.
They're large and intimidating, and they have things, two different appendages pointed at you, and you don't know whether either one of them does.
And to be fair, she also got very frightened by a guy who looks like Doc Brown.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, the other way that this would have made sense is, like, if it wasn't Romana. Because, like, we've already seen Romana handle, like, very scary things.
In the last serial, she was put inside of another lie-detecting device and was, like, didn't break too much of a sweat.
Yeah, so I think if this was just, like, a human, you'd be like, well, cut her some slack. These are Daleks and they're scary. I think what makes it feel awkward is that, like, you're, like, the character who, like, this person was wouldn't give a shit. Which, I mean, there's always some... I mean, there's always... That's how regeneration works. There's some personality change. And this is the first time we've ever seen that, like, not from a doctor. And so I think it's going to be a little weird having... It's weird having a companion who's the same character who's not. I think it's going to be a little weird for a while. And I think it also probably doesn't help that there's a lot of, like, Terry Nation writing for a female companion stuff happening also. But probably, like, is less than stellar.
That's... Since he's been writing for the show since, like, the early 60s.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably at play a little bit, but...
She doesn't really give him much to work on. And they're like, well, we're going to make you a worker. And she goes to work in the mines.
I mean, that's what the Daleks do. I forget what
they're doing.
They're moving rocks.
Specifically, she says that they have drills and machines and stuff for the mining, and they were just, like, clearing it out. Even Romana's like, it would be faster to use machines. Like, they have to have them. Mm-hmm. And the people are like, yeah,
they're dicks.
They're just, like, oppressing people. It's kind of their whole deal.
There's one.
This is, like, an aesthetic choice for them.
All of these workers, from what I read on Wikipedia, are wearing costumes that are repurposed from previous episodes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They, like, mix and match outfits from different episodes.
I remember thinking, like, this is, like, one of the first times where, I mean, they specifically say they have, you know, people from all over. And if you actually, like, look at the background characters, it looks like people from all over. It's, like I said, it's not just, like...
I love the woman. Like, there's one shot where she jumps in and she's got a gun. This is, like, way in episode 4. But she's got, like, these cool-ass goggles on. She looks like she just jumped out of Mad Max or something.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a look.
Yeah, but you can definitely tell that, like, this is a group of people from, like, completely different cultures with different fashions and all that stuff. Which, like, they don't always do a great job of showing, where it's like, we're in the future and it's a bunch of different people from all over, but actually they all look like they came from down the street, though.
But she wants to escape, and she's trying to get them to help her escape, but they're not really into the idea, because, like, people have tried to escape before and it does not go well. And she's also feeling sicker. She's getting more and more sick
because she did not get those radiation pills.
Dun dun dun.
And basically they tell her, like, the only way you get out of here is if you're dead.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, okay. That can be arranged.
Meanwhile, Tyson has, the Movellans have found Tyson and taken him to the ship. And he sort of told them everything he saw in regards to the Daleks and Romana and all that. And then all of them are like, all right, cool, let's go save Romana then. That's when we see that Romana has died. She dies. She passes out. And they come over and they're like, she's dead. And I was like, that's a really short span for this companion. An episode and a half. Oh, well.
One of these days, they're going to do it. Yeah. Just for the shock value of it all. Oh, wait. No, they did. They already did it.
Was it one of the Christmas specials or something?
No, it's fucking the very first episode of the new season.
Oh, Grace.
When they fridge Grace.
I don't actually like it in that instance.
No, I don't either. It makes me really mad. Really? I just have no genuine clue what I want. I've been wrong. This is the second time I've been wrong about it.
The Daleks are having one of their exposition scenes, which generally I don't like because of the noise. But they do have this... this great line, drilling will continue until penetration is complete. Oh, yeah.
So anyway.
Tony is very mad.
At the adult table.
Tony, you're outnumbered right now. You're at the kids' table. Get with it.
Oh.
Adapt or die. The doctor and them go to the control room. They're trying to find stuff out. And they find some explosives, which look really cool. They're bright yellow and red canisters.
They do look cool. They look like they came from a video game.
They look like they help people that are drowning, and you grab them.
That's
and you can float.
What I thought. I kind of thought they were stupid looking, honestly.
I do think when they're put on the Daleks, like, it's a nice color balance, because the Daleks are all, like, gray and blue, and then there's the bright yellow and red.
Yeah.
I thought it was an interesting look.
It was a choice.
That happens way later when they get put on the Daleks. But the Doctor finds out that the Daleks are trying to get to this fourth level of this place. They're like, why? And he's like, I know, but I'm not going to tell you. Because that's going to be a reveal later.
I know, but the story isn't ready yet.
One of the Movellans is, like, keeping guard or whatever. And he gets exterminated by one of the Daleks. And I think this is the first time the extermination effect is only on the person. Before, they would do like a whole, like, the whole screen would flash negative.
Is it the first time for real?
Mm-hmm. I think so. And it's like, this time it's not just their bodies, but it's like, there's a little outline.
A little mask. Yeah.
They kill one of them, one of the Movellans.
Or do they?
Dun, dun, dun. And so they all start running, and the Doctor wants to look at the dead body again. And they're like, hey, chill out, man. You can't look at our dead bodies. That's, like, against our code.
You know,
said they didn't want their anatomy to be known or something like that.
And he's like, oh, okay. Guess I won't defile this corpse.
Because you asked me nicely.
They do have a nefarious reason for it. But also, leave dead bodies alone. It's rude. So they're escaping up that shaft that shoot from earlier. There's a nice shot where you just see the scarf go up the chute, because I'm pretty sure Tom Baker did not climb up that thing. They just dropped the scarf and pulled it up. And once he's up there, the Dalek shows up, and the Doctor's like, if you're such, like, a superior race, why don't you climb up here? Which angers the Dalek.
That's a good line.
Just shoots at him. Yeah. Daleks defeated by stairs. And then they rush out, and they immediately find a gravestone in front of a pile of rocks. Grave rocks.
And the Doctor's like, Romana. Dead body. Nice.
I'm gonna dig that up. Add to my collection. But no, it does, the headstone does say Romana on it. And he's digging through it. And then Romana walks up. And he's like, aw, I was gonna get another dead body. But she faked her death because she can do that thing that the Doctor does where...
That Time Lord thing.
Yeah, she can, like, put herself into a coma or whatever.
Stop her hearts. And she says that, and who asks her?
Tyson.
Somebody asks her, how many do you have? Yeah.
Enough.
She says, one casual, one for best.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
It's from this point on that the anti-radiation pills are no longer a plot device.
They're just taking them, and you're not seeing it.
They're taking them when Tyson is doing his laundry. Getting all that dust off his jacket. So the Doctor knows of a secret shaft to the fourth level.
Damn it.
And they go there, and what do they find? Davros, who is dead.
Dusty.
Dusty and dead.
Spider webby.
And he's basically in the same spot we left him in Genesis of the Daleks, which is where we last left you as well.
That's true.
There's some explosions and a ceiling crashes on one of the Movellan people. Her name is Ajella. I don't know why I know this, but she was also in a movie called Carry On Emmanuel.
What a great Joe fact.
Yeah, I don't know.
Joe facts!
It was a parody of softcore porn.
Okay.
The movie isn't soft. Well, it's actually a British, like, huge British thing. There's a series of films called Carry On, and they're Carry On whatever. William Hartnell was in the first one called, I think it's called Carry On Sergeant or something like that. So, it's like a big British institution, these Carry On films.
I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah, that's probably true. It comes up a lot when I'm researching Doctor Who. The ceiling crashes on her, and then while they're, like, going to check her out, the Doctor's like, ooh, another dead body. Man, the Doctor has seen four dead bodies this serial.
And has tried to take every single one.
So, the cobwebbed hand of Davros starts wiggling. His little fingers.
Yuck.
And then his little third eyeball in the center of his head goes boing, turns on. And that's the cliffhanger.
How does it go?
It goes boing. Okay. I thought that was an interesting choice for a sound effect.
You were like, huh. I don't remember making that sound before, but...
I'm pretty sure last time it went, boing, boing, boing. But that's the end of episode 2, and we're now into episode 3, which I've called The Resurrection of Davros.
I mean, that's fair.
He, the doctor talks to him, and he's like, oh, hey, you don't look a day older than I thought you were dead, and offers him a jelly baby, which, of course he does. And then the Daleks are coming, so they're gonna leave. And, like, the doctor just, like, pushes Davros along in his little chair.
That was really funny, because the only response from him was, where are we going? Or where are you taking me? He said something like that.
And he says that once and, like, does not protest after that.
Yeah,
at all.
Exactly.
I think he's just, like, he has, like, there's one bit where he has a little bit of a chat with the doctor, but at no point is he like, hey, Daleks, I'm over here!
Yeah, he's pretty quiet for a while.
I mean, he just woke up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know how I am when I, like, just wake up and you're, like, trying to have a conversation with me, and I'm like, stop.
And you're like, well, I'm the supreme leader.
I need silence for, like, the next hour, and then I'll be awake. That's what Davros is doing right now.
I'm pretty sure he does
say... And that's just after, like, 8 hours. He's been asleep for, like, 400 years.
I do think he does say something like, you can't take me, I'm, like, the supreme leader. And the doctor does say, shut up or I'm going to turn you off. He shuts up. He doesn't say anything else for a while. As they pass by the collapsed... Well, the Daleks have found their footprints and are following them. And they drive past the crushed remains of the Movellan, who's played by the Carrion Emmanuel woman. She repeats the Davros thing, and her little fingers do a wiggle. So she's not dead either. What? I can't do that again, can I?
No, you've already used that joke all the way up.
I said, what? Like 50 times last podcast.
Okay. And it wasn't funny a single time.
You're right. It was funny every single time.
Yikes. Okay.
So they get to like a wall of stuff and the doctor is like trying to like pull it out. Which it sounds like styrofoam when he's trying to pull it out.
I mean, yes.
And then it causes...
I don't know if you know this, but this is not actually happening. It's a TV show?
Well, in most TV shows, the props don't sound like styrofoam. Though empty cups happen a lot.
Oh, empty coffee cups. We talked about this the last time I was here. Every coffee cup on TV is empty. Every single one.
It drives me bonkers.
Yep. And it's not that hard to act.
But also, I mean, they'll set it down and you hear, clop. Like, it's empty. It's empty. Clearly empty.
Yep.
Why won't they fix that in post, even?
And they drink it like this.
Look, it's that easy. Yeah. It's a fake. Or just put a little bit of water in it. Something. Then you don't have to put actual coffee.
Well, I guess like a mug. You wouldn't see it. I was thinking of like something that was clear, so it would be levels.
Put some continuity. Soda in there or something.
Yeah, but it's
the same color.
Yeah, it's always coffee cups. It's nothing clear.
Yeah.
It's very annoying.
I feel like every alcohol bottle is filled with apple juice, but then I don't know. Maybe it's alcohol.
The other thing that bothers me is when people leave doors open.
Don't say goodbye on the phone.
Or they never say goodbye on the phone.
They're like, you're right. Click. And then I just like to see once, like, cut to the other side of the conversation, the person's like, hello? Rude?
They order.
Or they call back, like, did you? The call drop?
They also order food and then don't eat the food.
Or take their change. There's so many problems with TV.
That's just tipping.
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do also not eat their food.
There's nothing worse, too, when, like, somebody's eating on TV and they're not eating your food and you're, like, starving and you're just looking at it, like, well, if you're not gonna eat it, give it here.
I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that on Parks and Rec, anytime Chris Pratt had food, he'd ate it. He's like, you're supposed to, like, you know, take a bite and they'd have, like, a spit bucket or whatever so you wouldn't eat too much food. And he's like, I just always ate it. I'm like, yeah, man, I'd do the same thing. What were we talking about? Oh, okay, he moves the pieces to clear the way and then it causes more stuff to fall in the way. And he just looks at Romana and is like... Well, that didn't work out for you, did it? She's like, didn't work out for what? Like, he blames her for it. He's kind of an asshole if you think about it.
Oh, a little bit. A
little bit.
Just a little bit.
But he's charming. So he's like me.
Yeah.
I'm charming, but an asshole.
Sure.
Well.
Which part am I disagreeing with?
I don't know.
You'll never know. So.
When you look into my eyes, do you see no evil?
Boo.
They're basically stuck in this room, cornered by the Daleks. And everyone, except for the Doctor and Davros, go out a window. Because it's hard to pull a Davros through a window. They just sort of chill for a while and have a little bit of a catch-up chat. Doctor fills in Davros about not just the Daleks.
They sort of catch up for a little bit.
Yeah, he like literally just starts listing off like historical events that have happened. He's like, well, politically, this is happening. So-and-so won the cup. I don't know, some sort of space cup.
Yeah, it's all sci-fi space politics.
I think he does say Arcturus, which has been mentioned on the show before, but it's just all like, it's like catching him up because he's been asleep for a while.
Could you imagine if somebody had been like, had just missed like the past 3-4 years?
Like
catching him up. It'd be so much. Nope.
And it'd be so sad.
It'd be a lot to take in. We should move on.
I'd be like, hey, did you ever read Bloom County? Well, it's real now. But meanwhile, the Movellan that was crushed goes back to the Movellan ship and then fills them in on like, hey, there's this Davros guy now. So they like study up on him. Tyson and Romana bump into a Dalek. He creates a distraction so that she can get to the Movellan ship as well. So they get split up a little bit. Which I think his distraction is he just climbs a rock wall and the Dalek shoots at him.
Pretty much.
And he's climbing it really slowly. I don't know how he didn't get shot.
Daleks, he misses.
Daleks are just terrible shots, I guess. So the Doctor is working on one of the bombs, the little yellow and red bombs, while Davros explains how he's not dead, which is that he had a backup life support system that kicked in conveniently. And then the Daleks burst in because they've like, he's like sealed off the door and like they burst in and the Doctor's like, I've got this bomb, don't blow me up or you blow Davros up and all that. And Davros is like, yeah, listen to him because I don't want to die. I just woke up.
I just got here.
So the Daleks, and like, this part is like legitimately terrifying to me. Well, if you're not gonna, like, well, they're in a bit of a, like, a stalemate. The Doctor says we're in a Mexican standoff. The Daleks bring in a bunch of the workers and are just like, well, if you're not gonna do anything, we're just going to start exterminating these workers until you give up.
And they literally say, hey, this is your fault. This is happening because of you.
And they exterminate two workers. Before the Doctor is like, stop, let's talk this out. He was like, that legitimately upset me. I was like, that's messed up. So he convinces them to free the workers. They do a lot of like negotiating. He's like, free the workers and give me time to run away and you can have Davros. And they're initially like, no, that's a terrible plan. And then Davros is like, just do it. I'm tired. So the Doctor attaches a bomb to Davros. He just straight up tells him, too, like, I'm putting a bomb on you. Like, I wouldn't have done that. I would just subtly, like, put a little bomb on there. But he jumps out the window and runs off, and Davros is quickly like, get this thing off me! And the Doctor detonates the bomb, and the Daleks explode. Two of the Daleks explode, but Davros is fine. He also says, go ahead and kill those workers. Exterminate those workers, which is against the terms of their agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Rude.
Bad guys.
That's true.
They are bad guys.
So Romana gets to the Movellans and is like, whoa, hey, wait, how are you not dead? You were dead. You were like crushed under stuff. And then she's like, and shoots her with her big pink spiral.
Ooh, we didn't talk about those, but those look great. They're good props.
They look like drill pieces too, which is like thematically appropriate.
Yeah.
Everything is drills in this. So she shoots Romana. She doesn't kill her. She just stuns her. And they say that the Doctor is their new objective. They need to get the Doctor. And the Doctor is running around, ducking away from Daleks, and he puts his hand inside this, like, crevice.
This scene is gross!
It's disgusting. The whole time I was like, oh, what is he doing? Oh, what? What? Stop it!
It honestly didn't need to be in this episode.
It doesn't set anything up or establish anything.
I mean, it technically does. He realizes that Daleks used to be...
organic?
Yeah.
I mean, they're still squidgy on the inside.
Yeah, but he's like, I know
what... You didn't say what happened.
Okay, yeah, he pulls out a Khalid goop. It looks like silly putty. Like, it looks like a big silly putty booger.
I knew you would say it looks like silly putty.
It does.
I knew you would say that.
Goopy.
Literally, when I saw it, I was like, he's going to say this looks like silly putty.
But, like, what it's setting up is that, because he's like, why did the Daleks need Davros? And he's like, oh, right, they used to be people, kind of. But now they're not, so they need that, not necessarily a human element, but like the...
organic.
Know, organic, yeah. That's what that's supposed to be setting up, but the whole time all I could go was like, ugh! Put it down! Put it down!
Yeah, it's like almost too effective.
He does. He chunks it.
That's definitely some sort of slimy thing, and I don't like it.
No matter what it is, he just throws it.
And then it goes...
And then it lands on a newspaper, and then he pulls it up, and it's got the newspaper like copied on it.
Family Circus.
It has the Doctor Who comic strip from the 60s. Tyson bumps into the Doctor and says that he rescued the workers that were that Davros was going to exterminate, and they're all hiding, and he's amassing an army, basically. They are caught by a Dalek, which promptly explodes because a Movellan shot it, and you're like, oh yay, saved by the Movellan. And then the Movellan's like very slowly crawling down this dune, like struggling to get down. I think they cut to a shot of the smoking Dalek so they can cut back and she's at the bottom, but she's like, actually no, you're coming with us whether you want to or not. And
they're also kind of dicks.
And then the Doctor pulls out that little thing that's hanging on the front of their belts, and him and Tyson proceed to play keep away.
What?
The thing is, that was a battery pack that he pulled out. So she's powering down. But she's just like very...
She's got her arms...
swinging around.
Her arms very stiff up in the air and just like just moving at the waist. And like... delayed.
Because, she slowly falls down.
But why? Why did they do that?
Well, I mean, they take off her battery pack to disarm her. And then she runs out of juice.
I know that part, but...
The thing is, I didn't realize that when I first watched it. I was like, why is she acting so weird? It took me a while to realize that she was powering down. Because we pretty much immediately... Like, he rips her shirt open, which... rude. But she's got, like, robot parts.
Did you say robot?
Robot.
She's got robot.
She's got robot parts.
She's got robot real bad.
But they defeated her with a playground game.
Also, that's like a bad place to put your battery pack.
Just like hanging on your belt?
Yeah.
Where do you put your battery pack?
In the robot.
That's true. Most batteries do go inside things, not just dangling off your belt. It's a poor design choice. Otherwise...
Or it's apparently just, like, clipped on, so you can pull it off.
Just bad design choice. Because they're more concerned with, like, the aesthetic than the function. Then we see the Movellans testing out a device that they have. They call the Nova device, which is just a big tube. The device isn't the tube. It's like this, I don't know, little box thing that they put inside a giant glass tube.
I'm glad you struggled to get to the word box.
Yeah, I know.
Descriptive.
It's like a little radio that they put inside of this giant glass tube.
It's
and...
genuinely terrifying because they're explaining how it works and they're like, basically, like if it wasn't inside the glass tube, this thing ignites the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Or like if it wasn't like sectioned off into this tube, it would just ignite
the whole planet.
And, which seems like a lot.
So I was rewatching this scene
like
to make...
Like a little bit of overkill.
I was rewatching the scene to make GIFs. And like the head Movellan's like, seal it off, the glass tube. And the Movellans are just like sort of rubbing their hands on the side of the glass tube. They're not like twisting it or anything or like doing anything with like the actual seal. They're just like, But it works. It flashes and like there's just the whole thing fills up with light and then goes away and there's nothing left in it. Was the device left in it? Did it destroy the device?
Did it burn itself up? I don't know.
And they're like, well, we need to lure the Doctor here to us. So they put Romana in the tube with the device.
Which is like, would be a great threat if he knew what the fuck it did.
Well, there's a big machine that has a countdown on it, which is another way you know it's a Terry Nation serial. Countdowns. I hate countdowns.
Starting at 30.
And that's the cliffhanger, is Romana's in a tube. Test tube Romana. That's the end of episode 3. We're now into episode 4, the last episode, which I have called Rock, Paper, Scissors, Davros Doc.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank you. So the doctor's running up trying to fix this thing, and he is shot by one of those pink drills. Then the countdown hits 0, and then starts back up at like 9,999. And the Mobellan's like, it broke. And one of the other ones like, nah, this is, it was just a decoy. It's not supposed to
be. I like that at least one of them was like, it felt kind of unnecessary, so I just didn't arm it. You know we can bluff, right?
We don't have to kill people.
It's an option. That's all I'm saying.
So they take them to the ship. Meanwhile, Davros is basically trying to figure out the situation and put himself back into being the head honcho, because like they're like talking and filling him in, and someone says something about the Supreme Dalek, and he's like, I'm the Supreme Dalek, I created you guys, this is my job.
And the Daleks are very like, yeah, we're gonna obey you.
And they do,
but like even for Daleks they're very like, we're listening to you now, and no shifty eyes or anything, we're definitely listening to you now.
I mean, they are. They don't betray him at any point.
I just, like, for them, it seems like this is...
I was reading that more as they were scared of him.
They no. seemed a little weird about it.
Yeah. I don't think they were scared of him at all. I think they were like, we have to listen to him for now. Because, like, the last time...
That's true. They did just, like...
They pretty much murdered him. So, like, I think that, like, their situation is, like... We're going to listen to him enough to keep him happy until he's not useful anymore. And then we can go back to doing what we were doing.
Mm-hmm. I guess. He gets them to
That's 100% what's happening.
Yeah, but he gets them to do some stuff that I feel like they would have been like, no, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, but... he does.
He does, because he's necessary. Because I know what scene you're talking about, and there's definitely, like, tension in that scene where... I mean, for, like, you know, tin cans, there's a part of me that's like, they don't like this very much, and I can tell.
So the doctor wakes up on the Movellan ship, and they proceed to give him all the exposition, all the backstory. The Movellans and the Daleks have been at war for centuries, but are stuck in a stalemate. I don't even think they fired a single shot on each other. Well, I guess one of the Movellans just blew up a Dalek. But
For the most part.
Yeah, because they're all basically logic-driven robots, so they've out-logicked each other. So they both plan things out so far in advance that, like, they can't do anything.
Have you ever seen
The only way to win is not to play.
Yeah. There's this post that I saw that was talking about, like, weird things, like when AIs learn how to do things the wrong way. There was this one that was supposed to play, like, tic-tac-toe. Or something, some kind of game like that. And in order to win, it would just make the board, like, way far away. Or it would make the board too big. And the other computer would, like, crash trying to find it. And it would be like, I won! And so, like, that's how it learned how to win.
By cheating?
Yes!
We've taught computers how to cheat.
I mean, it doesn't know that it's cheating. It just knows that it did what it was supposed to do. I don't know. That made me think of that. Of, like, these two big, like, you know... AIs basically competing against each other, and they've stalemated. So one of them just needs to figure out how to go way, way, way off the board. Which is basically what they say. It's like they need a not human.
Well,
but...
they don't say that. The doctor kind of tells them it, because he's like, you're both doing too much logic stuff, and this is why the Daleks have got Davros. This is why they needed him. It's because they needed someone with like an outside perspective. And they're like, I don't understand.
They need someone to do something that's not logical.
When he explains this, he explains this by playing paper, rock, scissors.
Which, by the way, rock, paper, scissors. You can fight me, I don't care.
It's rock, paper, scissors.
It's rock, yes. paper, scissors.
And how does he win every single time?
Well, not against Romana.
Not against Romana, but against
them. The Movellan, yeah.
Yes, he wins every single time.
Well, he wins every single time because they're, like, cycling through it.
He's using their logic against them, and he's playing illogically.
So, like, they, like, play whatever he played last because they're like, oh, that's the one that wins.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Because, like, also, before he starts playing them, I mean, him and Romana play the game so they see what they're doing. And then, like, he's like, no, you two do it. So the two Movellans are playing together, but they keep just pulling
the same
stalemate.
Yeah, they keep doing stalemates. But then he plays the Movellan and wins, and they're like, whoa, how does that work? smart. But I think this is a really interesting thing, because then they're like, well, we need you, Doctor, because...
They've got Davros,
we need you. And I think that's, like, a really interesting... Like, there's these two warring factions that are both logic-based robots, basically. I mean, Daleks aren't technically robots, but that are both, like, trying to get someone to help them. And it's, like, it's Davros on one side and the Doctor on the other. And I think that is a really neat parallel, an idea. But the difference is, Davros is like, heck yeah, let's do it. And the Doctor is like, no thanks, not gonna. I don't want to contribute to a war. Meanwhile, Tyson has been going around deactivating more Movellans and then reprogramming them. He'll take their little battery pack and do some fiddly bits with it, and then they start working.
Yeah, he was like sticking something. I'm gonna stick this in here and then whatever it does.
Very, very technical.
Yes.
This is Davros' plan. Suicide Daleks. He's going to make a suicide squad. He straps all these bombs to, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 or 9. A whole bunch of Daleks. And he's like, go attack the ship and then I'm going to blow you all up. You'll take out the Movellans.
So this is the scene that I'm talking about where there's definitely, like, hesitation on their part. Where they're like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. Like, it's not, they're not like, yeah, you're our leader and we'll follow your orders unquestioningly. There's definite hesitation because it's a suicide mission.
But he convinces them that that's what it's going to take.
Right.
He's wrong, though. Haha. It might have worked if the Doctor wasn't there.
But he was there, though.
And if he's not there, you get Torchwood. So the group of workers that Tyson has assembled stormed the ship. The Movellan ship with their reprogrammed Movellans, and there's a fight scene, and they win. The Doctor beats some of them with a dog whistle. His dog whistle that he uses for K-9. It, like, I don't know, confuses them?
Hurts their ears.
Yeah, and everybody's pulling out the battery packs. The Doctor's like, well, I'm gonna go... Well, he sees the Daleks heading their way with the bombs attached to him, so he's like, I'm gonna go talk to Davros and fix this. And, like, then the door closes, and then you just hear him, like, through the door, like... I will return! So he goes to Davros and he's like, listen, all the Movellans are deactivated, so you don't have to blow them up. They're defeated. Don't worry about them. And Davros is like, nah, I want to blow something up. Gonna do it anyway. All I have to do is press this button and blow them up. And the Doctor's like, this button? Can I press? And then a Dalek shows up behind him and stops him.
Because he's gonna blow up the Daleks before the Daleks get there.
Meanwhile, the workers are fighting some of the Daleks. Romana sees a rogue Movellan that's rolling around in the desert. I guess it's
just one having a bad time.
I think it's one of the ones that maybe had their battery removed, but it's like still got a little bit of a charge left or something. It's crawling through the desert trying to activate the Nova device and blow up everything. Like, Romana just kicks his ass. He's like reaching out for the button and she knocks his arm off.
Yeah, that was really easy to do, by the way.
That's true. Like, they're supposed to be like these destructive, warring robots. Mm. And it's like one smack to the wrist and it's the whole arm comes off. So the Doctor is trying to figure out a way to cause some trouble. He throws his hat over his shoulder right onto the eye stalk of the Dalek.
So good.
And the Dalek just like freaks out and is like starts shooting, and like Davros is like, to your left, to behind you, to your right,
chill out.
And there's a point where it spins around and starts shooting, and Davros is like, not at me. The Doctor puts a bomb on the side of the Dalek, pushes him down the hallway, and the Dalek explodes, and then the Doctor's like, oh no, my hat.
I blew up my hat.
And then he gets into an arm wrestle. Okay, so the Doctor has defeated someone with keep away.
Yeah.
He defeated someone with rock, paper, scissors. And now he's going to beat Davros in an arm wrestling match. Because he's like holding his arm, trying to get him to like press the button. Or like he's trying to press the button and Davros trying to stop him. And then the Doctor basically just removes his hand, and then Davros himself smacks the button.
And all the Daleks blow up. Not all of them. The ones that had the bombs on them.
That's fun to watch.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's like one shot where there's like 5 of them in a row and they all just go boom. That's a lot of props to blow.
Did they have like some extra pyrotechnics left over or what?
Maybe. I don't know. I'd say they blew up at least 8 Daleks in this serial. At least.
But like, maybe more. The episode just started with just like, ah, there's explosions on this planet. And they're just happening. Like, they did a lot. They had a lot of explosions in this one.
It's not Doctor Who if something doesn't explode.
That's fair.
So they put Davros in this freezer thing.
Cryogenic.
The doctor gives him a logic lesson, and he says, all elephants are pink. Nessie is an elephant, so therefore Nessie is pink. Is that right? And then, like, Davros is like, yes. And the doctor's like, well, if you asked a human that, what they would say is, and then Tyson leans in and goes, elephants aren't pink. And then Davros is like, well, humans are dumb. They tell Davros, like, your days are up, and we're going to freeze you and ship you off to a trial. And that's the end of Davros. I bet we'll never see him ever again.
Never again. He's definitely... definitely 100% defeated.
They're like getting prepared to leave, and Tyson turns around and like, hey doctor, what the hell? And like the doctor and Ramon are just like running through the desert.
They're like, see ya, we're done.
And then the ship takes off with the workers, and everybody's gonna be happy now. And then the doctor and Ramon are digging out the TARDIS, which the rocks now do seem pretty easy to move.
Yeah,
the doctor lifts
they
one
don't
up
need
over
canine
his head.
Anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now they've got teamwork.
The doctor's just like, the first shot is him just like holding one over his head though while he's talking to her. And she's like lifting one up, and I'm just like, okay, they were heavy a little while ago.
And the doctor is explaining, you know, the trick is like, you can make mistakes and that can help you win. That's what I did. Like, they were just thinking you have to do the right thing every time. It's like, you gotta be willing to make mistakes sometimes. And she's like, so that's why you always win. Because you make mistakes a lot. He's like, what? Maybe.
Yeah.
I've made a mistake or two. And then they take off and reappear immediately in the same spot. She's like, you pressed the wrong button. He's like, oh, sorry. And then they leave. And that is the end of Destiny of the Daleks.
Nice.
What was their destiny? To die?
Yep.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for final thoughts.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is?
Yeah. First of all, it's Thursday.
I never could get the hang of Thursday.
I mean, like, it's Thursday afternoon, almost 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not what you mean?
Murder you. What time is it in the... what do we do right now in the podcast?
I mean, in the podcast, we're about an hour
and...
Not
the time. What is the segment that we do in the podcast at this moment?
I think it's called Final Feelings, where we discuss our feelings.
I'm feeling so annoyed. You know that's not what it's called. What is it called?
Honestly, can we change it? It should be.
Yeah, Final Feelings is a pretty good
one. I believe it's time for Final Thoughts.
Final Thoughts!
My final thoughts were that too many Daleks were hurt in the making of this episode. Of these episodes. And I didn't appreciate it.
They are bad guys.
I don't care. They're amazing.
It's a little wasteful.
Yeah, they're going to have to make new Daleks now.
I'm pretty sure the ones they had in this serial were reused to, like, put together. Like, some of them, if you look closely, they've been, like, repaired a bit.
Oh, really?
I actually have a roller derby helmet that I modeled after these Daleks in this serial. Like, it's the colors and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I put, like, little lights on the top and everything.
That's amazing.
Cool. Yeah. I still have it, but it's been beaten too much, so I can't actually use it anymore. So.
But other than the death of the Daleks, did you like the serial? Or?
You know, it was all right. I like it because of the Daleks, but it was a little slow for me.
This is probably one of my favorite Dalek serials. I mean, since Genesis, obviously.
Genesis is way better.
Because, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Genesis is the best Dalek serial ever.
The Daleks is pretty good.
I mean, that's a good point. But I really enjoyed the humor in this one. I'm really looking forward to seeing more of Romana 2. I thought she was adorable when she came out with the, all in the Fourth Doctor stuff, and the Doctor takes the hat off of her, and she's just got this big, goofy grin. That is so cute. They still seem to have, a good, banter between her and the Doctor. I mean, it's not a lot of it in this serial, but there's a couple moments. Which makes me feel like they're gonna be really fun to watch. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird being out of key to time. That's like, oh, we don't have missions or anything. We're just gonna fuck around for a bit, which we haven't done for a while. So that's gonna be fun. And I really, really liked a lot of the design in this one. I think a lot of thought was put into making it seem like the future and a world that is vast and diverse and not just people. I don't know. Yeah. A lot of interesting design and it was fun. I mean, Nothing spectacular or mind-blowing. It's cool to see Davros again. I don't think we mentioned that, it was cool to see Davros again. I wish they had done something with the mask.
Oh, yeah. I read the mask was, because it's a different actor than we had last time, but it was the same mask that they used for the previous actor, and they did not modify it at all for this new actor. And it had been, in storage for, I don't know, however many years it was since Genesis of the Daleks. And so it was, a little worn down, which I actually think kind of works a little bit for the fact that, he's been cobwebbed for however long.
Yeah.
Right. But, when he talks, his mouth doesn't quite move right.
Because... it's like he has two mouths.
Yeah. His lips are very loose.
I think I enjoy the Dalek episodes with Davros in them more, because it kind of adds this element to them besides just we're murder robots, which is, I like the Daleks, I like that that's what they are, but it does allow you to tell, more nuanced stories, having this sort of more organic thing representing them, and then you can sort of delve more into, his motivations and stuff like that, and have conversations, and... Yeah.
I liked it mostly. I'm not sold on Romana 2 yet. She seems okay.
Yeah, I was going to fight you in the Discord, and then I was like, I'm not going to because we should do it on the podcast.
I think she's fine so far, but she hasn't, made a huge impression on me yet. And it doesn't help that there's that one scene where she's, crying.
Hey, yeah. People can cry.
Yeah, I know.
There's
but
nothing
it just,
the interrogation wrong with crying.
Scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there's nothing wrong with crying. It just felt out of character for who I know Romana to be. And it falls into, sexist damsel in distress tropes, which, Doctor Who has done before. But I feel like Romana has been fairly not fallen into that trap before. And then it kind of sucks. This is her first outing. And then, there's this scene that I just don't care for. As written, I would have been fine with the scene if she had said all the same lines she said, but less... I don't know.
Teary.
Whiny.
Yeah. Whiny. Yeah, that's a good... I feel like Romana's a cooler character than that. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
And it feels like we're going back to, I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely agree that, she's kept a cool head under worse circumstances.
She even does in the rest of the serial. It's that one scene where she seems kind of off. But, this is her first serial as Romana. Her second serial total. But, so, give her a little bit of time to settle in, I guess. Other than that, yeah, I do like the humor in this serial. I do like Davros, but I feel like he didn't get a whole lot to do.
To do, really?
He just gets pushed around a bit, and then he's like, go blow yourselves up. And he doesn't get a whole lot to do. He doesn't seem very energetic, either. I mean, he did just wake up from, a 400-year nap or something, but...
It's fair.
I do love the Movellans. I like the... idea of them, the concept and the robots, and I love the design, just everything about them. I think it's really neat. The Daleks are cool. Daleks are Daleks. One thing I would have also maybe wished there'd been more of is exploring the workers more, because we really only get to know Tyson, and then there's one scene where Romana talks to two of the workers, but
do they even get names?
Probably, but I don't remember them. I know one of them looks like she just walked out of an 80s music video and she looks cool as hell, but I would like a little bit more development of the workers, and I feel like if you had developed them a little bit more, as effective as that scene already is, but the scene where the Daleks are exterminating the workers...
If you had gotten to know them more.
Yeah, it probably could have been even more heartbreaking and terrifying. But all in all, I think it's good. Solid start to this season, and I'm excited to see more. I'm with you about it. It does seem weird that we're not in the Key to Time anymore and like have this big season arc, and now we're just kind of doing standalones. But I'm excited. And I know this is the season of Douglas Adams as script editor, so I know some people have problems with that, but I know it's going to be funny, so.
Can't be that far off from it. Title sequence change
probably soon. I don't know. Before we go, anything you want to plug, Lainey?
Oh no, I'm good.
You're good. Yeah. All right, just check out her last episode. It was good.
Yeah, check out my last episode. More Daleks.
We actually have some plugs. I want to.
We do
shout out real quick. Yeah.
Oh, we do.
We've both been on two other podcasts I want to shout out so people go listen to them. Tony and I were both on season 2, episode 2 of the podcast Bree and Chris Are Depressed.
You shouldn't just listen to that episode.
You should listen to the whole thing.
Because both Bree and Chris are very funny and cool and talk about like the podcast is.
Yeah, Bree
Castellini. To listen to put it in your ears.
Bree Castellini and Chris Cherry. Chris Cherry has been on this show a bajillion times. As a companion podcast to their web series Sam and Pat Are Depressed. And
if you haven't watched that, like,
do that.
Just turn the podcast off right here. It's just the end bits, and go listen to that.
So yeah, it's on YouTube. Go check it out. So this podcast is them talking about them making the web series. I'm not entirely sure why we were on it, but it was fun.
It was very fun. Yeah,
we talked about one of my therapists not having an ass.
Yeah, so you'll have to listen to the podcast to see how I feel about that.
Tony wasn't on this, but I was on an episode of Earth Station Who recently. We talked about whether or not Doctor Who needs monsters. But that episode has R. Alan Siler is a guest on it as well.
Aww.
So, yeah, you missed hanging out with Alan. So, but that's it for us. If you like the episode, you can check out more on WatchYourAssLon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It does iTunes magic.
The more reviews we have, the easier it is for new people to find us. And then you can have, like, new people and be like, hey, do you listen to this podcast? I listen to this podcast, too. We should talk about it, probably, on Twitter and tell other people to watch it, because that'd be cool.
Please tell people about us. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourassalon.com/support. And there you can find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, bonus episodes, live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. And we recently just started a Discord server for all of our Patreon patrons, and we chat about movies and cute animals.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It's not just me and Tony. I've opened it up to everyone who has been a guest on the podcast. Check it out. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in the Facebook group if you want to join. So you can talk to Lainey if she joins.
Yay.
So. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You haven't said that in a while.
I know. It kind of felt like good to say again.
You can follow him somewhere, probably. mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com.
That's Tumblr without an E. Because, nope, I fucked it up.
It's but, Tumbles.
Without an E. Because it's Tumblr.
Yeah. And then he's other places, too. He's on Twitter, and you can find
him. Just Google his name.
Just Matt Golden. He's the guy that's been on the podcast before. You can find him. I also want to give a special shout-out to Vincent E.L. for providing us with our theme song.
I'd like a shout-out.
I'd like to thank Tony for putting up with me for over 10 years.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, we old.
Damn.
Are you going to say thanks to Vince?
Thanks, Vince.
And tune in next time when we talk about the City of Death. We don't know who's going to guest on that yet because it's open to everybody. We're going to set a time. Whoever can record on that time, they can join in if they want to.
It's a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all.
So it might just be us.
That's very possible. I don't know. I feel like at least Vince will be there. Maybe Chris Cherry. Maybe Tony.
Yeah, if I could get out of it, I will.
And you're invited as well.
Thanks.
I don't know if you want to join. It'll be craziness. I know there's a couple of people who are like, no, I'm too socially like anxious for that. So
we have no one is more socially anxious than me. So they should go and join you on this.
Yeah. Listen to Lainey. All right. But thanks for listening. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye. And I love you. But like in a parasocial way. Okay.
Goodbye.
Oh, look. Rocks.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.